Dukes and Bell, Abe is in for Mike today. We got to talk to Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network, mostly NFL data science. She breaks down sports in a different way, and we love her work. We're going to talk some more college football, so stay there. We'll get to that quarterback conversation about Georgia, Alabama, et cetera. Cynthia, thanks for joining us. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. I saw you were posting and talking about the Steelers, and I just want to start here just on the information. Are you buying that Aaron Rodgers, 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers, is going to go in there with the additional moves they've made and make a difference? I mean, what are the numbers telling you? That Aaron had a good year last year. Can he do that again with the Steelers? Can those numbers be better?
I think the numbers can be better. The problem is the division is pretty much a nightmare. Do you really want to go up against Lamar Jackson? Not so much. And if you look at, you know, like, it's so strange saying this because I'm from Michigan originally, and to say that the NFC North is like one of, if not the most competitive divisions in the NFL is wild thing for me to believe. But the NFC North is one of the divisions that they play in their rotational schedule this year, along with the AFC East. So not only is it difficult in terms of the NFC North being difficult, but you've got the AFC North, the NFC North, the AFC East. There's a lot of poetry there too, with Aaron Rodgers having to square off against his old divisions. And I just think it's going to be a tough sledding for a team that has an old defensive front, a lot of mismatched pieces that I don't know how long that chemistry takes to come together, but it feels like it's a little bit of a risky business going on there.
And the Steelers, you know, they just gave their GM a new 3-year extension. You think he's looking at drafting a franchise quarterback and hiring a new head coach over the next couple seasons? Do you feel like Tomlin's towards the end here?
You know, obviously Mike T will go when Mike T's ready to go, because it's not like, you know, no one's going to be forcing him out. I do think that it will ultimately be something where both of those things happen. Now, do they happen simultaneously? I don't know. But I do think that, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers I don't think he's going to play next year, even though he's like, it's a 1-year deal. Maybe I'll play. I don't know. He always tricks us with, you know, becoming the off-season story. I think that's his new favorite thing to do. But, you know, he kind of tricks us with that. But I think they are looking at this next draft, and they're saying, you know, this is something where we now have a full year to think about how we want to do this. There's someone in there maybe that they have their eye on, and maybe they could either get the draft capital for it or figure something out. And I don't think they'd be going with the free agent, but figure something out with the draft and maneuvering in the draft.
Cynthia Freeland joining us, guys, NFL Network. You said it. It's never too early for fantasy conversation. And guys are gearing up for it. So let me ask you, where's our dude? Where's my guy, Bijan Robinson, when you talk about fantasy running backs? Where do you have him ranked this year?
I have him at number 2. Now, I will tell you, are you a Christian McCaffrey believer or not will be your question if he's 1 or 2. A lot of people think Saquon's right up in that mix as well, and I can't deny that either, Jahmyr Gibbs. But I think Bijan Robinson, for me, if I'm looking for kind of, I'm going to use the word safe, because we don't know about Christian McCaffrey's health. It always feels like it's one of those things where whenever I draft him in my fantasy league, he tends to get hurt.
Yep.
And whenever I don't, so if you want me to sacrifice it, if you give me 1.01, I'll go ahead and take Bijan and be really happy about it. And I'll let someone else have Christian McCaffrey, because I might be the reason whether or not he gets hurt. You know, it just might be me drafting him.
Yeah, another Falcons player that there's some debate about high, especially depending on your league settings and all that, or lower. And he's certainly been a lot lower with all these top 100 players lists. Some don't even have him listed, is Drake London. I mean, when you talk about this guy, it just feels like he's still underappreciated. Maybe he doesn't do it the same way that Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson do it, but Drake is just one of the best receivers statistically in the NFL.
Yeah, here's my strategy. Who cares what any of those rankings are? Who cares what? Let's let everyone else draft him very low in fantasy, and I'll go in there and swoop him up. I am more than happy to exploit other people's bad decisions and take my chances with Drake London. I'm a big Drake London fan, not just from, you know, watching what he has already done, but also projecting what he can do going forward. I think with more certainty at the quarterback position, it's just going to be better. And I thought you were going to put me in the fantasy conundrum of like the Kyle Pitts question, which is not one that I love answering, because I always get burned on Kyle Pitts too. So I'm going to stay away from him just because of my own demons. But I'm Drake London. I'm buying lots of shares of it, and hopefully I get to buy it at a at a discounted rate because let everyone else be dumb and the rest of us can be smart about taking him.
Yeah, Cynthia, you're not the only one who's been burned about Kyle Pitts. She is with NFL Network, mostly NFL data science guys, breaking down sports data, and she does a terrific job. You can follow her across all social media platforms. All right, while we're talking about this, because guys are gearing up, people are gearing up for their fantasy leagues, tell me about these quarterbacks. Is Lamar number one? I mean, 41 touchdowns, what, three picks, whatever it was last year? Is he your number one when you talk about quarterbacks? And then where do you have our guy in Michael Penix, who we saw three games of, and Abe and I were talking about, you know, was the sample size enough to give you a feel for what Michael Penix is projected to do?
Yes. Well, let's go in reverse order here. I think that the Michael Penix question is a really interesting one because I am not a believer in drafting quarterbacks high. Mm. I don't do it. I'm not even I actually still think it's probably Josh Allen number one. Not that I don't believe in Lamar, not about that. I just think, like, again, it comes down to your schedule, and the Bills this year have a schedule that feels a little bit more favorable to what Josh Allen's going to do, whereas, like, Lamar, he has to split some time. Like, Derrick Henry sometimes takes away some of the things that makes him so valuable. Mm. I know James Cook is there. Anyway, so you're debating over two things that are very – the difference between him, those two, is very small. Whereas if I'm looking at a later-round quarterback to pick up, Michael Penix could score very easily right in that top tier. I'm getting him in a much later round. So just a strategy alone would dictate that I'm getting a much better value on him, especially if you look at him compared to some of his counterparts. Like, Jaden Daniels will go really high. Got it. Understood. But if I'm looking in those later rounds, I'm just not going to talk about it out loud. I'm just going to take him in my league and be happy when I beat you.
You mentioned Jaden Daniels. He was actually, I have a two-part question, and he's one part of that. But we saw C.J. Stroud. He kind of went through a little bit of sophomore struggles. How do you think he's going to bounce back? And then as Jaden Daniels enters his second season, if the league is able to adjust, how do you think he fares year two?
Yeah, so C.J. Stroud, the interesting part here is that O-line was not just bad. It was like there was like crazy notes on the interior O-line specifically. Mm. That was like the number of sacks, the number of pressures, the percentage of early downs where he was just under pressure in the middle of the line was abysmal. Like, it was right there with like Caleb Williams or anything that was going on in Tennessee. So I think you have to kind of give C.J. Stroud, let's all reset around C.J. Stroud. Hopefully they've addressed some of these O-line issues, but also I think they had a Bobby Slowick issue there. I don't think Bobby Slowick's style matched what C.J. Stroud wanted to do as he evolved past that first season. So I think that will help too. And of course, you know, you get Nico Collins a little healthier for more of the season. All of these things will help. So I think C.J. Stroud, I think he bounces back. Do I think he's bouncing back to the point where, you know, he's winning playoff games? I'm not ready to go there yet, but I do think it's going to be a nice season. Now, as far as Jaden Daniels is concerned, the interesting part for them, again, all of this comes down to O-line play for me. Jaden Daniels, I think he'll have some sort of a slump. I don't think it will be to the extreme that we saw C.J. Stroud, because everyone did. I mean, Patrick Mahomes did. All of the best always do, because defenses are now creating plans to specifically stop your skill set. And Cliff Kingsbury will figure out a way to get him past that, but we don't know what those defensive coordinators are going to throw his way yet until he can adapt to it. Just like, remember when we saw, you know, the Bengals, Lou Anarumo pulled out.
That's right.
Absolutely not playing single high on Patrick Mahomes. Then Patrick Mahomes, now two safety shells, now he's adjusted. Like, it's a chess match. And I think Jaden Daniels is well suited for that chess match.
That's a great point. Cynthia Freeland joining us, guys, talking all things NFL, fantasy football. She does a terrific job. I want to ask you, just from the standpoint of Patrick Mahomes, listen, the last time we saw the Chiefs, they got beat up. And I think that viewpoint has some people not believing that, oh, well, you know what, they're not going to be as good. You know, I mean, they couldn't protect Mahomes. That was the one instance where they played the one team that they were going to have problems with, which was the Eagles. They're not playing the Eagles every week. What's your assessment on Mahomes and the Chiefs as we get ready to start camp here in a couple of weeks? And just from a numbers standpoint, does he put up miraculous numbers like he did a few years ago?
I actually think it's straight numbers could be better this season. I mean, last season was a strange, like, one possession, weird games, but I think the numbers could be better. Their schedule is actually harder this season than last season. Just the scheduling gods, that's how it works. But so he could be throwing for more touchdowns. I expect those specific numbers to go up. But I'm not worried about anything to do with this team yet. They're still in their prime. When your biggest problem is figuring out, like, how you can accommodate, you know, that your superstars to the point where you're like, you have some of the highest paid guys in the league and they're still doing it at the highest levels. Like, I have a tiny little violin for all of them. And yeah, okay. That one game happened. We all saw it, understood. It was the biggest stage, but you're telling me Andy Reid can't figure out how to adjust when he has Patrick Mahomes and probably a pretty fired up Travis Kelce and then Rashee Rice coming on. Like, there's Xavier Worthy. Like, there was like all of these things happening at the end there. And I think we see it return to form. Again, it's hard to win games in the NFL, let alone win as many games as they did. So I'm not worried about them yet.
Good stuff. Cynthia, thank you so much. Look forward to visiting with you down the road. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. We're all excited about the start of camp and the season getting underway. Cannot wait. Cynthia Freeman, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, guys. Hopefully I come down there. I haven't been there in a while. So,
come on.
You know, the training camp, I like it. I'm one of those people who I love the humidity. I love the heat. I'm into it.
Yeah, well, look, we'll look forward to seeing you. It's going to be a fun
camp. Dial that up for me. Thank
you. I got you squared away. Thank you, Cynthia. Take care.
Bye.
All right. And by the way, 24th is our first day of training camp. We will be there. I say we as in this radio station. Nobody covers the Falcons like 92.9 The Game. You're home for Falcon football. We'll be up there every day of camp and bring you the latest. Camp will be open for fans this year. It was not last year. They had construction and stuff. So you get a chance to come up and see Penix and company on those open days of practice. All right, we're coming back. Guy Talks on the way. What happened at Lake Lanier this weekend? Also, I went to the movies and saw a movie that was better than I thought it was going to be. And then I found out something about its star that I didn't even imagine. And you won't believe what happened to me on July 3rd. It's next.